Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Into the tomb on that Friday we call good went all the hope, or at least it seemed that way, all the hope of Israel, all the hope of the disciples, all the hope of the women who were headed out that first Easter morning. But you see, out of that tomb came all their hope. Out of that tomb came all their joy. Out of that tomb came that which is ours, which makes us right with God, which declares us redeemed, restored, and forgiven. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You see, in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, death has been swallowed up in Christ's victory. We now live and have life in it eternal as our gift, our reward for having faith in Christ. At the place of the skull, the serpent's head has been crushed. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We'll wake up. Sinful humanity has been redeemed. And that's good news, because that means you and me. We confessed our sins this morning, and we received the absolution that is only granted us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. So we can say with joy, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This morning we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We celebrate the grace and the love of God. We celebrate that we have been brought to faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Today we celebrate Christ Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil. Today we rejoice that the tomb is empty. The tomb where they had laid Jesus' body is empty. Just as the angel had proclaimed, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" You see, today is the day that makes all things different in the world. It makes things all different for us who are Christians. For if Christ has not risen from the dead, we are to be pitied above all people, for our faith is futile. For without the resurrection, we have no Christ, no Redeemer, no Savior, no Lord. But surely you've heard the good news, right? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
See, you're waking up. You want proof? Take your eyes out and place them in your ears. Because the organ of faith is your ears, not your eyes. And listen, our text offers us eyewitness proof that you can stake your life now and for all eternity on. Our text starts out with, well, John records that Mary Magdalene's headed off to the tomb by herself, it seems. But we know that's not the facts. We just know that that's the direction that John's coming from, because Matthew and Mark give us, and Luke give us, even more information that Mary Magdalene was accompanied by Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, the once ambitious mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. You remember the mother who had asked for their sons to be seated on the right and the left when the Lord entered into his glory. And then that would make her the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So this is really Aunt Mary. And Luke places also Joanna with them. And Joanna is the wife of Chusas, Herod's steward. She was one of the women who Jesus had healed of an evil spirit and infirmities. All these women head off to the tomb that Easter morning. It's as if the women had forgotten Jesus' words, because they head off to do what? To anoint a dead corpse. To finish giving Jesus a proper burial. he who was crucified with thieves on either side. They're not thinking of the resurrection at all. They're not thinking of the words that Jesus spoke to, well, them outside of Lazarus' tomb just a few weeks earlier. Remember, Jesus had told them that he would die at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and rise again the third day. For he had said, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't blame them in their grief. Grief has a way of clouding our memory. It even causes us to act from time to time as if Christ is not risen. The women hadn't thought through their plans completely. They started to wonder who might roll the stone away, for it was big and it was heavy. What a complete shock it must have been to them that first Easter morning when they got there and the stone was not just rolled away, but it had been taken away. Yet the women don't start jumping up and down and screaming, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. No. These women, well, assume the worst. It's interesting that they assume the worst because the worst is the lie that the Sanhedrin puts out. The disciples stole the body, the Sanhedrin wants to say. The women ask, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have laid him. They wonder what could possibly have more could they do to dishonor their Lord and their Savior, their Rabboni. Our testimony is often like that of Mary. We let many earthly things cloud the importance of heavenly things. Be it grief or leisure activities, our work, they often take our focus off of Jesus and His Word and put it on, well, stuff that is much less important. We forget or we hide our faith at family functions, in public, with old friends, and even new acquaintances. As we let our fickle feelings, well, run our life. Of these and many more sins, we pleaded guilty this morning in thought, word, and deed. Things done, things left undone. And we heard the absolution that our sins are forgiven. And it all is because, well, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You see, into that tomb went all the hope of the people and they thought it was lost. But out of that tomb came all the hope of the people and it was not lost and no one need be lost. You see, Christ has conquered all. And this morning we celebrate. This morning we even beat the women to the tomb, for the sun is not out yet. And they went as the sun was rising. So then we see, it's John, you see, who's the disciple that never mentions his name in the Gospel of John. It's John who's the sprinter. He saw the linen cloths lying there, but didn't go in. But Peter is, well, he's a little braver, I guess. And following him, he went into the tomb and he saw the linen cloth lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus had not lined with the linen cloth but folded up in the place. Yet they too began to wonder what happened to the body. At no time do we see them stop and think about what Jesus had told them. Just looking at the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But let us not smugly judge these disciples. My sleepy-eyed saints. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. And we have the benefit of knowing that that is, well, the high point. that from Good Friday to Easter, the high point is the love of God shown upon us and given to us. They had not yet connected the Old Testament promise in Psalm 16. For you will not leave my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Or Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. They had not yet come to grasp with the text from Hosea. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. That's just to mention a few. And well, today it is clear to us that Jesus' body has not been stolen. I mean, it doesn't really take a detective team to walk into this crime scene and see that no crime has been committed. What kind of thief leaves the body wrappings and a neatly folded napkin that was placed upon the head just laying folded in a corner? It's clear there was no thief. Our eyes of faith that are now in our ears can clearly hear the good news this morning. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So let us stop standing around as if we were in shock. Let us stop living as if we are chained to our sins. Hear the words of Jesus. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers. Say to them, I am ascending to my Father, and here's the great news, and your Father. To my God and your God. We are now, through Jesus, declared children of the Heavenly Father, heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Our Lenten prayers have been answered. He who overcame by the tree has been overcome by the tree of the cross. And as we sang these last 40 days, Lamb of God, pure and holy, we can rejoice as our Lenten fast has come to an end. For today we rejoice that the Lamb of God who is pure and holy is the Lamb of God who has taken away our sins. Death no longer has dominion over us. Christ the Lord is risen today. Let our confession be joined with that of Mary Magdalene, with that of Peter, with that of John, with all who have seen the resurrected Lord, with all who gather with us this afternoon at our 8 and 10:30 services at the Lord's table, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. And let us rejoice and say, I have seen the Lord. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Death has been swallowed up in Christ's victory. Life and an eternal is ours. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
At the place of the skull, the serpent's head is crushed. Death and hell, their dominion over us, are destroyed. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Sinful humanity has been redeemed. You and me. Our sins are forgiven, as thrown as far away as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name, amen.